Let's continue in our talks from Mark by reading Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. In this account, we see our Lord's teaching that spiritual relationships in the family of God are more important than natural family relationships. Mark chapter 3, verse 31. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother." All right, once again, let's look at some background notes to help us understand this portion of Mark chapter 3. In verse 31, we see that the family of the Lord Jesus had arrived from Nazareth. We read, "Then his brothers and his mother came." This is the only mention, by the way, of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark. This verse connects naturally with verse 21 of this chapter. Mark 3:21, "But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.'" So the Lord's family had started out from Nazareth and traveled the 30 or so miles to Capernaum, and now they've arrived and they want to talk to the Lord privately, but they're finding it hard to do so because of the crowds. Their purpose is to restrain his activity. They think he has taken on too much activity, and he's outside his limits, and he doesn't have the ability to deal with all these people and meet all these needs. As we saw in verse 21, they think he's out of his mind. You got to remember now, his brothers at this point have not yet accepted him as the Messiah. In John chapter 7 and verse 5, we read, "For even his brothers did not believe in him." John 7:5. Who are these unbelieving brothers that are mentioned here in verse 31? Are they cousins? Are they children of Joseph from a previous marriage? Well, these suggestions have been made, but there is no evidence for either of these positions. The most likely answer is that they are children born to Mary and Joseph after the virgin birth of Christ. Matthew 1 verse 25 says that Joseph kept Mary a virgin until after the birth of Jesus. The implication is that then they slept together as a normal husband and wife and raised a family. The idea of the perpetual virginity of Mary cannot be supported from Scripture. In Psalm 69, which is a messianic psalm, we read in verse 8, "I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children." This certainly indicates that Mary had other children. The names of some of these children are given in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. In fact, two of them named there are James and Jude, two half-brothers of our Lord who later became believers and wrote the book of James and the book of Jude, respectively. Notice, by the way, that Joseph is not mentioned here, nor is his presence seen anywhere in the record during our Lord's 3 years of ministry. Most likely, Joseph had already died, therefore making Mary a relatively young widow. Look again at Psalm 69, that great messianic psalm, and notice verse 9, which follows the verse we read. Once again, verse 8 of Psalm 69, "I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children." And now verse 9, "because zeal for your house has consumed me." Well, that's exactly what we see going on here in fulfillment in Mark chapter 3. The brothers are estranged from the Lord because of his zeal for the work of the Lord. Well, that then brings us to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, spiritual ties are stronger than natural ties. Spiritual ties are stronger than natural ties. Once again, reading verses 33 and 34. The Lord answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." You've heard the expression, blood is thicker than water, meaning family ties are stronger than non-family ties or relationships. Well, our Lord is showing here that there's something stronger than earthly family relationships. Spiritual ties are stronger than natural ties. That is, membership in the family of God takes a higher priority than membership in an earthly family. Now, the Lord is not repudiating the importance of earthly family relationships here. Look at Mark chapter 7, for example, verses 9 through 13. Here, our Lord is rebuking the scribes and Pharisees for neglecting family responsibilities. Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. And he said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, dedicated to the temple, and you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do.'" That's Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. So we see here that the Lord is certainly not against earthly family relationships. In fact, he's rebuking the scribes and Pharisees for neglecting family responsibilities. God has ordained the family. The Lord in no way is putting down the importance of the family here. But he is showing that being part of the family of God is far more important than being part of any earthly family. After all, spiritual ties in the family of God determine whether you're going to heaven or not. If you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you are not in the family of God. And without these spiritual ties, you are still in your sins and lost. Your salvation is not determined by your earthly family connections. Furthermore, spiritual ties are stronger than natural ties because spiritual ties are eternal. Our earthly family ties end at death if the family does not know Christ. But our spiritual family ties will never end. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord forever. Doctrinal point number two. Obedience is the evidence of membership in God's family. Obedience is the evidence of membership in God's family. Look at verse 35 once again. "For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother." How do you know whether you're in God's family or not? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Well, you say, "Yes, I think so, but how do I know if it was a real confession of faith or it was merely a profession?" Well, do you obey the Lord? Do you want to obey the Lord? Obedience is the evidence of membership in God's family. What about your obedience to the Lord in your marriage? What about your obedience to the Lord in your lifestyle? Obedience is the evidence of membership in God's family. 1 John 2:17 says, "He who does the will of God abides forever." You know, my father-in-law, Mr. John Smart, had this text on his desk. It stared him in the face each day as he sat down at his desk. "He who does the will of God abides forever." 1 John 2:17. Obedience is the evidence of membership in God's family. Practical application. Remember that you are a member of a spiritual family. Remember that you are a member of a spiritual family. If you are a Christian, this truth is of great practical application. You are not just a forgiven sinner on your way to heaven. You are in the family of God now. You have a heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you. Are you feeling lonely right now? Turn to the Lord for comfort. He's there, and the comfort of God is available because you are in God's family. Furthermore, because you're a member of God's family, you have brothers and sisters that you can turn to in your joy and in your sorrow. Are you happy in the Lord right now? Has the Lord blessed you in a special way lately? Well, share that with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you hurting right now? Well, God has provided spiritual family members to turn to in times of hurt. When my dad went to be with the Lord 2.5 months ago, it was great to see our spiritual family reach out in many ways to support us. And you know, as spiritual family members, we need to reach out and help brothers and sisters who are hurting and need help. Remember that you are a member of a spiritual family. Practical application number 2. You can expect some conflict between your two families. You can expect some conflict between your two families. That is, between your earthly family and your spiritual family. Now, it's great if your earthly family is composed of all Christians. Then they are all part of your spiritual family as well. But many times, this is not the case. Christian parents have non-Christian children. Christian children have non-Christian parents. And all brothers and sisters in a Christian family may not be saved. Maybe only one is a Christian. Maybe only one parent is a Christian. So there's bound to be some conflict. And that's exactly what we see here in our text. Because the Lord's earthly brothers were not yet saved, there was a division here. It was not one big happy family in the Lord. Well, you can expect the same if you are a part of an earthly family that is not all Christian. There's bound to be some conflict. There's bound to be some conflict when you have a married couple and on one side of the family, you have non-Christian relatives, or maybe on both sides of the family. There's bound to be some conflict between your two families. That is, between your earthly family and your spiritual family. Now, you can be sure that God will give you the grace to live in that situation as you pray for your family members. But remember, you can expect some conflict between your two families.